السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. نحمدہ ونصلی علی رسولہ الکریم، اما بعد. علماء کرام، موسٹ ریسپیکٹڈ برادرز اور سسٹرز لسننگ ایٹ دی مدرسہ، حضرت مولانا ذوالفقار صاحب دامت برکاتہم، ہی از سو ویل نون ان اور کنٹری اینڈ اراؤنڈ دا گلوب that he doesn't require any introduction. So the very brief introductions which are normally given are so that we may listen to the bayan or listen to the waaz and the nasihat with azmat and with izzat and with the ihtiram that is required and necessary. When we have ma'rifat of a person, when we understand the caliber of a person, when we know who we are listening to, so then it has a different impact on the hearts. Otherwise, our akabirin, our mashayikh, they are not in need of any kind of praises because they are not standing for election. They are already selected by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So they do not need our votes. They do not require our praises. So it is for ourselves that we mention a few things. That in this world at present, we find everybody wanting to climb on the bandwagon of whatever it may be. Everybody wants to climb the bandwagon. Wherever there is any kind of benefit that a person sees, and especially of the material kind, then whether it is the root of religion or anything else, they will try to climb onto that bandwagon. Look at the gurus in the Hindu community and many others. They have become multi-billionaires, but they pretend that they are great spiritual leaders. And then we find so much of deficiencies and weaknesses, and especially of the moral kind, that it shocks our imagination. So the same has happened now in this field of tasawwuf also, that many people have come into this field looking at the inclination of the large number of people in the ummah, that they are becoming inclined towards deen, they are becoming inclined towards recognition of Allah Ta'ala. They want to also get the ma'rifat and yaqeen and muhabbat and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam ishq and muhabbat. So many peers then come into this field, and instead of leading them according to the Quran and Sunnah, then we have bid'at and we have so much of other khurafat. And those are the khurafat and bid'at which other people from the outside, when they look, then they say there is no haqiqat of this tasawwuf. It is nothing but just a myth, or it's a gimmick, or it's a money-making racket. So in this world of fitnas, when there's so much of fitnas all around, and we cannot find the true gold and the true diamonds, then at that time, personalities like our respected and honored guest, we should value and appreciate, because he is not one of those who just suddenly came onto the scene. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he chooses people for the khidmat of his deen in different fields. We have in the field of Darul Ulooms, Masajid, Madaris, Khanqas, Tabligh and Dawat. In different fields, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives people different kinds of abilities. So here our Hazrat Damat Barakatuhum, his peer and his sheikh was Hazrat Shah Ghulam Habib Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. And he was a very great personality, well recognized, not only in India, Pakistan, but even in the Arab world. And he spent a lot of time with him, and in his and he had khas tawajjuh on him. Now if we have to go into the history, that in 1953 he was born, and then all the different halat and the different situations, conditions, and how he qualified as an engineer, but now today is a peer of tariqat and shariat, and how many thousands of ulama around the globe, and great, great solaha and pious and righteous people and ordinary people like us have benefited from his waaz, his nasihat, his malfuzat. His kitabs are printed, different titles. His majalis and his oratory is well known around the globe. So we are very fortunate that we have had this one and only program for Natal in our masjid. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must give Hazrat Mawlana long life, good health, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must keep his knowledge flowing throughout the globe, and many people around the globe must benefit from his piety, his taqwa, And it is the transfer from heart to heart that is what is required. Apna dil kisi jalte huye dil ke qareeb kar de. Ye aag lagti nahi hai, lagai jati hai. That is what happens. It is not something out of the ordinary. But this is what we have seen. The Sahaba-e-Kiram radiyallahu anhu majmain became Sahaba because of the companionship of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The Tabi'in became Tabi'in because of the companionship of the Sahaba radiyallahu anhu. It carries on like that. I will conclude on one beautiful couplet of my Shaykh Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuhum. He says, Kisi ahle dil ki sohbat, kisi ahle dil ki sohbat, jo mili kisi ko akhtar, usse a gaya hai jeena, usse a gaya hai marna. Kisi ahle dil ki sohbat, whether he's in South Africa, Pakistan, America, China, any part of the world. But if the person gets the sohbat of some ahle dil, a person whose heart is burning with the love of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's muhabbat, then inshallah the person will know how to live in this world and how to die as a Muslim and as a believer in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Hazrat, bahut hi khushi hui aap tashreef laaye. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala hume zyada se zyada aap se istifade ki taufeeq de aur aapke nafe ko aam aur taam farmaye.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأما ما ينفع الناس فيمكث في الأرض وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الدين النصيحة سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم All praises be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created us and blessed us with countless bounties. One of those bounties is our heart, which is a source of emotions. All the emotions, feelings, they belong to the heart. Emotions of love, hatredness, emotion of happiness or sadness. So all these belong to the heart. So every human being has feelings. That's why we love to live together as a family, as a community, in the cities, in a country. We love to interact with each other because we have feelings. We have our needs. We want to express our feelings and we want to see the feelings of others. For example, if we are a member of the family and we do something and all the family members are happy, it makes us happy. We want to see them happy. We want to see all of them in comfort. So because we have feelings. Rasulullah ﷺ, he defined what is the religion Islam just in one word. He told, Ad-deen an-nasiha, that religion is well-wishing. It means every moment he will be a well-wisher. Well-wisher of himself, well-wisher of the family members and all the human beings. Ad-deen an-nasiha. And those people who know about the Arabic language, that these two words have been used as ma'arifa, ad-deen, al-iflam, an-nasiha. And when mubtada and khabar both are ma'arifa, then there is hasar. It means both are connected to each other. Lazim wa malzum. So the meanings will be ad-deen an-nasiha. Wherever there is deen, there is well-wishing. And wherever there is well-wishing, there is deen. It means a bad wisher, he cannot be a righteous person in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is a ruling given by our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he trained the Sahaba in such a way that they had the best etiquettes in their life. They were soft-hearted, ruhama ubainahum. They were helpful to each other, sympathetic to each other, kind to each other, always thinking about the well-wishing of each other. So this was their characteristics. Let me quote few of the instances. Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was a merchant, a businessman. He used to buy the goods from Syria, Mulk-e-Sham of that time, and then sell it in Medina. And he was a rich person. Once he received his consignment at a time when there was dire need of that thing. Everyone was looking forward, can I get this thing? So when he received his consignment, all those small businessmen who used to do their business in the local areas, they just got together. And they said, you are lucky enough, you got your consignment at the proper time. So please, sell it to us, we are to pay you the double of the price. Now it's a big incentive that a person, he gets double of the price. He said, no, I'm not going to sell it. So then one person came, he said, okay, I want to give you 3 times the price. He said, no. Then a man came, he said, okay, I am ready to pay you 4 times of the price. Now look at this. You spend 1 rand and in return you get 4. Lot of profit. Allahu Akbar. But when everyone was coming, he was expressing that everyone needs it. So Sayyidina Usman Ghidlano, he got an idea that it means that a common person is in dire need of this thing. That's why they are selling me at 4 times the price, and maybe they can sell at 5 or 6 times the price to the other people. So he said, no, I am not going to sell. So the businessmen, they asked him a question. Why are you not prepared to sell? He said, because you are not giving me a lot of profit. They replied that we are offering you 4 times the price. What do you want? 5 times, 6 times? He said, no, I need more profit. They said, no one can give this much of profit. What you are asking? He said, yes, I know a buyer. And he wants to buy these goods from me, and he can give me at least 700 times price what I have already paid. So most of them, they were Jews. They asked, who is that? Then he recited the ayat that if you spend in the path of Allah 1 grain, kama sali habba, أَمْبَتَتْ سَبْعَ سَنَابِلْ فِي كُلِّ سُنْبُلَةٍ مِئَةُ حَبَّةٍ. that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He makes 700 grains out of one grain. So then He took all of His goods and just sent it to the poor people in the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were such well-wishers to the other people, always thinking about the comforts of other, of the community. So there was a Jew, he had a well. Now the water of the well was very sweet, very cold. People loved to drink it. Now this person, he used to sell it at a high price. So every person, common person, was not able to pay the price. So they used to buy little amount of water from him. Usman ibn Ghazwan, he came to know that this is the need of the Muslim community. So he went to the Jew and he asked, "Can you sell me this well?" He said, "No. I am earning a lot of money. Why am I going to sell it?" He said, "Okay. Sell me half of the well, but get the price of the whole well." So this was a business tactic used by Sayyidina Usman ibn Ghazwan. Get the whole price. Give me half of the well. Now, Jew, he said, "Okay, I will get the whole price, still half of the water will be mine." So he was trapped. He said, "Okay." So whole of the price was paid to that person, and Hazrat Usman Lano, he got the right of getting half of the water from the well. Now he said, "How it will be easy that you get water and I get the water. So better one day you get the water, the other day I will get the water." He said, "Okay, it's a good way." So Sayyidina Usman ibn Ghazwan, he got water for a few days, and when everything was established, the deal was firm, then he just made an announcement that all the people who purchase the water, now they can get free water on the day which is my day. Now the people, they were waiting. So they used to get the water free for a whole one day. And the other day, there was no customer for the Jew. No one wanted to pay anything to him. Because they used to say, "Okay, not today, tomorrow we will get another free water." So after few days, then the Jew realized that I missed the boat. So it's better that I sell the second part of the well. So he came, he asked the price. Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu, he paid another amount of price, and then he made it work for the sake of the Ummah. All the Muslim people and the other people, they used to use that water. So they were not like the businessmen of today, that he is always worried to just fill his own pocket, and he is not worried about the others. This was the training given by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he ordered some sahaba to make bayat that you will be well-wisher of the others. So those sahaba, they made bayat that, "O Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are making a commitment that throughout our life we will be well-wisher of others." So one of them, the name of the sahabi was Jarir bin Abdullah al-Bajali radiallahu ta'ala. He always was thinking about others, well-wisher of others. Now one interesting story, he wanted to buy a horse. So Jarir radiallahu ta'ala, he came and he asked the owner, "Do you want to sell this horse?" "Yes." "How much price you want to ask me?" He said, 300 dinar. Abdullah Jarir radiallahu ta'ala, no, he looked at the horse and then said, "No, to my mind, this horse is more valuable. You are asking me a low price. He said, okay, if it's low price, give me 400. He again looked at the horse and make another judgment. Then he said, no, still I feel that the price of the horse should be higher. He said, then give me 500 dinar. Then again he made a judgment. And then he said, my conscience tells me the price should still be higher. He said, give me 600 dinar. He said, okay. So he gave 600 dinar to the owner and bought the horse and brought it to home. So next day, he made an invitation to the friends. So all people came just to have a lunch or dinner at his home. So then he told them, I bought a horse. So the friends, they looked at the horse. Any one of them, he had a ride on the horse. And then they gave a comment, you have a very good deal. It's wonderful. You got it in 600 dinar, and maybe even if it could be purchased at 700 dinar, it was wonderful. He just listened it. And next day, he gave it to the same person and said, look, your judgment was 300 dinar. My judgment was 600 dinar. But my friend's third party judgment is 700 dinar. So please get this 100 dinar. I don't want to make any loss to you. Allahu Akbar. Look at this. If we are so well-wishered to others, I think we can start getting the feelings of paradise in this world. This was the society which was built by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He made the Sahaba so kind-hearted, so loving-hearted. They were so good to each other. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciated them and said, Ruhama ubaynahum. They were so merciful to each other. So basically, that was the well-wishing feelings which every one of them had in his heart. Now the climax is that in the Battle of Yarmouk, one person, he was wounded. It was very hot day. He was sweating like anything and dehydrated, having last moments of life. He was weak. He just shouted, Al-Atash, I am thirsty. His cousin, he said that I had water, so I just filled a glass of water to feed it to my cousin. When I just took the glass near his mouth, another wounded person, he said, Al-Atash. Now this person, he kept his mouth shut, and then made an indication with the eyebrows that please go to the other one, feed the water to him. He said, I went to the other one, wanted to give him water, and I listened the same word from the third one. He did the same. When I went to the third one, he died. When came to the second one, he died. When came to the first one, he died. It means not 11th hour, no. In the last moment of their life, and we can understand that in the last moment of life, how much thirsty a person can feel. They were feeling so thirsty, still they were preferring their brothers on their own need, because they were well-wishered to others. They were real moments. Their way of thinking was different. What way of thinking we have today? Today we just think about ourselves. But they used to think about others. Subhanallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam prepared such a jamaat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was happy. फरिश्तों को दिखाना था बशर ऐसे भी होते हैं. अल्लाह सुब्हान तआला वांटेड टू शो द एंजल्स, लुक दिस, ह्यूमन बीइंग्स कैन बी लाइक दैट. वन ऑफ द बुजुर्ग, हिज नेम आज अबुल हसन नूरी रहमतुल्लाह अलैह. सो वंस फ्यू उलमा दे गेव ए फतवा एंड द रूलर ऑफ द टाइम ही वॉज नॉट हैप्पी विद दैट फतवा. So he was embarrassed and he said, okay. He told the police to go and capture all of them and bring them to me. And he said, I will kill all of them. So 4 or 5 people, they were caught. They were brought to the ruler. He said, okay, just ask them to stay in line and I will kill all of them. And then he found that Abul Hasan Nuri Rahmatullah Alayh, he was just on the first place, in the front. He had some feelings of aqeedat in his heart about Abul Hasan Nuri. He wanted that I shall kill someone else and then I will make an excuse and I will forgive all the other. But Abul Hasan Nuri was on the first place. So he said, oh, this is not a good place. Bring all of them here so that they will be shuffled and some other will be on the first place. But on the first place again, Abul Hasan Nuri was standing. Then he said, this is not a good place again. Bring them on this side. And Abul Hasan Nuri was on the first place. Then he called Abul Hasan Nuri and asked, I tried that someone else should be the first one. I want to kill him and forgive the others. But you were on the first place in all the 3 times. It happened accidentally or you stood intentionally? Abul Hasan Nuri rahmatullah, he replied, no, I stood intentionally. He said, you know that I wanted to kill you. He said, yes. Why you stood intentionally on the first place? Then Abul Hasan Nuri rahmatullah replied such a beautiful reply. Subhanallah. He replied, I thought in my mind that whatever time you will take to kill me, my other brothers will get extra moments of life to live in this world. Allah Akbar. What their way of thinking was that they wanted that whatever time will be taken in my own killing, so these moments other will get the chance to live more in this world. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Sayyidina Imam Azam Rahmatullah Alayh, he was a merchant. He used to do the business of cloth. He had a shop of clothing. One day, after Zohar, he was just coming home. So someone met him and asked, Noman, you used to close the shop at Maghrib time every day, but today after Zohar you are coming. He said that yes, today it's cloudy, the visibility is not 100%, and because there is no enough light, so the customer cannot differentiate whether the cloth is of good quality or normal quality. So I closed my shop. My customer should not be misleaded to get a normal cloth with the price of higher one. I closed my shop. I don't want to betray anyone. Ya Allah. They were so well-wishered to others. One woman came to Imam Azam Hanifa rahmatullah alayh and said, I am needy and I want something for my children. So I want to sell this piece of cloth for me. Imam Azam rahmatullah alayh looked at him and asked, what's the price you want for? She said, I need 200 dinar. He said, go back. Come with your mahram and then I would decide the price. So she went back, she brought the husband with her. Now two things. Number one, he wanted to make sure that she has not stolen this cloth from anywhere. And number two, he wanted that this woman is asking very low price. But the cloth is more costly. So he said, go, bring some mahram with you. When the husband came, then he told him that you do not know the value. I am the merchant, I am the businessman, I know it. This is double of the price. So the husband said, okay, give us the price. Imam Azam Rahmatullah, he bought that cloth with double of the asking price to the woman. What does this mean? It means they were so well wishered to each other. They wanted that we should do everything good to our Muslim brothers. Even at the time of Tabi'in, a beautiful story has been quoted in books, that one person, he sold his agriculture land. And other one, he bought the land. Now the person who bought the land, he was ploughing the land so that he should be able to cultivate the crop. Why he was ploughing? He found that there is something hard. He tried to dig the place and there was a treasure. Lot of amount of gold buried inside. When he looked the amount of gold, first thought came in his mind, it does not belong to me. I have just bought the land and paid the price. This is something very costly. So it's the right of the previous owner. It's not mine. So he contacted the previous one. And he told the previous landlord that please, I bought the land from you and paid the price of the land. But now I have got a treasure in the land which is much more costlier than the cost of the land. So it does not belong to me. Please get it, it's yours. What was the reply? He replied, no. When I sold the land to you, whatever benefit will come from the land, now it's yours, it's not mine. And there was difference of opinion. One person was saying, it's not mine. The other was saying, it's not mine, it's yours. It's yours. So who is going to decide? Now the case was forwarded to the court. Today, what type of cases come to the court? One side saying, it's my right. Other one saying, it's... And someone says, I can spend last drop of my blood for my right. And the other one saying, I can shed last drop of blood for my right. So they are fighting for their rights. And look at this beautiful case. Both the parties, they are saying, it's not my right, it's the right of my brother. And he is saying, it's the right of my brother. Now the case was forwarded to the court. Now the Qazi of that time, he was also surprised. How well-wisher these people are. They want to prefer their brothers on themselves. So he listened from each of them what they wanted to say. Then he asked about the family background. So he came to know that one of them had a young boy and the other one had a young daughter. So the judge, he made a judgment. Okay, the decision is that it's better that this young boy and young girl should be engaged together, their nikah should be made, and this treasure should be given as a dowry to both of them. This was the Muslim Ummah. This was the society which Rasulullah ﷺ made in this world. What a beautiful group of people. They were so well-wishing to each other. Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayh, he was a big muhaddith, a very reputed personality of the time. His neighbor was a Jew. So this Jew, he wanted to sell the house. One person came to him and he said, "Oh, I have seen a banner that this house is for sale. Do you want to sell it?" He said, "Yes." "What's the price?" He said, "The price is 2,000 dinar." Now the person was amazed. He said, "In this locality, this type of house can be at the most 1,000 dinar. And you are asking double of the price?" The Jew, he replied, "You are right. The price of the house is 1,000 dinar and another 1,000 of dinar is the cost of the neighborhood of Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah." When we were real Muslim, practicing Muslim, then the prices of the houses of our neighborhood used to rise to the sky. Because people loved to stay in our neighborhood. We were so well-mannered, well-behaved, akhlaq-e-hasana. We were so careful, we were so considerate to the other people. These people were real Muslims. Abdullah Mubarak rahmatullah alayh, he used to travel a lot. Most of the time he used to come to Kufa to have a sohbat and sitting of Imam-e-Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. He was one of the 40 scholars which were helpful for the tadween of the fiqh for Imam-e-Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. But in the way, he used to stay at a place in a small village for one night. Now in that motel, there was a young man. Once he came and stayed in that motel, but he could not see that young man. He asked, "Where is that young boy?" They replied that something bad happened to him. He had to pay some debt to the person and he had given a deadline which he could not pay. And the person, he reported to the police, and the police, they got him, they captured him, and he is behind the bar. Abdullah Mubarak rahmatullah alayh, he just went to the police chief and asked, "What's the matter of this young boy?" He said that he owes money to the people and the deadline has passed. Either he should pay or someone of his relative should pay. I would release him. Abdullah Mubarak rahmatullah alayh, he replied, "Okay, I can pay but with a condition." "What's that?" He said, "Condition is that you are not going to tell my name. I just want to pay and you release him." Police chief replied, "No problem to me. At least the person will get his right." So he got the price, the money, and gave it to the people and released him. But Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi, he went. Now this young man was surprised that who paid my money, my debt. But he never knew because the police chief did not tell him. Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi, he came back, he stayed at the same place. Now this young man, he told him, "This happened to me, I was behind the bar, someone paid my debt and I came out. And I don't know, but he was a very pious person." Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayh, he was listening, but he was silent. He did not tell that I paid your debt. And for the rest of the life, Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayh used to listen the same story from that young man. Until a time came when Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayh, he passed away, he expired. He died, then police chief told that young man that your debt was paid by Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah. So our ancestors were so helpful to each other. That is an example of a real human being. Once, when Baghdad was the center of the Muslim Ummah, then Kuffar, they were very surprised that what is something special in the Muslim community that they are achieving their goals and they are expanding and they are making lot of propagation of Islam and people are accepting Islam. So they sent one person to go stay in the community and analyze that what's something special in this community. So this person, he traveled a lot and came in Baghdad. He was really exhausted, tired, and he was feeling hungry. So first decision he took, let me go to some restaurant and take food. So he went on a restaurant and told the person to give him food. He took the food and he started eating it. While he was eating the food, he saw that another person who is eating food, he is looking towards him with some curious glances, as if he wants to know who he is. He thought, maybe I am a stranger, so he looking towards my face, that who he has come in this area. So he kept eating his food. When he finished, he came to the counter and asked the person, what's the cost I have to pay for the food? And the person on the counter, he replied, your food has been paid off. He asked, how? Then he told that, you know, another person was eating food beside you. He looked at your face and he figured out that you are a stranger, you are a passenger. So he came to me and he paid for his food and he told me that that stranger is my guest today. I am going to pay for him, but I don't want to tell him because I want the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this person was surprised that these Muslims are this type of people. Again, he said, okay, let me go in the market and see. So he just wanted to pass through the market and see how these people are interacting with each other. So meanwhile, he found that he needed something, maybe battery. So he went on the shop and told the shopkeeper, do you have a battery? He said, yes. What's the price? 5 dirham dinar. Okay, give me one piece. Now this shopkeeper asked him, please do me a favor. Go in to the shopkeeper who is just in front of mine. And he will give you the same thing at the same price. So get from him. So he went to the second shopkeeper. Asked the price. It was 5 dinar. He got the battery. But then he was confused. That shopkeepers are not like that. They want to sell their commodity. So he came back to the first one because he wanted to know what's inside in this community. So he came to the first one and asked, you had the battery with you or not? He said, no, I have a couple of batteries with me. Why you did not sell it to me? He said that today I got lot of customers and I feel that I have saved so much money. My children can eat food at the night time. And I found that today there was no customer to my friend. So I thought maybe you will buy this thing from him. He will save some money and his children will be able to eat something at the night. This was our business at that time. We were so well-wishered to each other. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Now, three thinks about well-wishing. Three things about well-wishing. A person who is well-wisher, even if he takes a wrong decision, Allah makes it right. Because his intention is good, Allah unki ulti ko bhi seedha kar dete hain. Because the intention is good. He is well-wisher. A story has been quoted in the books that there was a village and the passers-by, they used to stop and pray in the masjid and go. But there was no place, no tree near that mosque where they could fasten their horses or camels. So one person, he came and brought a piece of wood and he just put it in the ground with the intention that if any passenger will come, he will fasten the horse or camel with this and he will make namaz and then he will go. No, he did this. After few days, one person who made namaz in that masjid, he was coming out. And because it was darkness, there was not electricity at that time. So he was hurt with that piece of wood. He thought, oh, this can hurt some other person. So why not I should get it out? So he took it out. So look at these two people. One, he put it in the ground, and the other one, he took it out of the ground. But in books it has been written, Allah forgave the sins of both of them. Why? The intention of the first one was right, and the intention of the second. Although the action is totally 180 degree opposite. Allah looks at the intention. So the person who is well-wisher, even if sometime by mistake he takes some wrong decision, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leads him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts him on the right path and even gives him the reward on that. Second one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves well-wishing as he loves the love. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he loves that all the human beings, they should love me. Now because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes that my humble servant should love me, so this love is always appreciable. Even if some person, he is doing something by mistake, which is not right, still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it. At the time of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, there was an old man. He came to know that there is no wife of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no children. So according to his level, he was just sitting alone and connecting to his Lord and talking, oh Allah, I know no, you have no wife, no children. Can you come as a guest to me? I will make khidmat, I will feed you with drinks and water. And this and this. He was talking. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he listened it. And he told him, oh, whatever you are saying is not according to the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this old man, he was afraid. Oh, okay. So then what happened? Maulana Nuru rahmatullah alayh, he quoted in the Masnavi, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a message to his Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, O my prophet, tu barae wasl kardan amadi, ne barae fasl kardan amadi. I sent you to connect the people to me, I never sent you to disconnect the people from me. Now look at this. This old man is saying something which is not permissible. But because he is saying with love, by mistake, still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes it. Same is the well-wishing. That a well-wisher person, if by mistakes he does something, not with bad intention, no. He has the best intention, but by mistakes he takes some wrong decision, still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him the reward because his intention is good. Love is something strange. You know, a baby, sometimes he gives a laugh on the face of the mother, and the mother, she catches the hand and kisses it. Now look at the action. Action is opposite. If he has given the lap, a big lap should be given to the baby. But no, because the mom loves. So that's why she is kissing the hand. Same is the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes that my humble servant should love me from the core of their hearts. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that all my humble servants should be well-wisher of each other. Now, sometime a question comes in the mind. I am well-wisher. People are not good with me. So, I have to pay them in the same coin. Answer is that anyone who is well-wisher, then the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this person. So the other people cannot take him down. No way. Because if there is a weighing scale, on one side you put a big weight, then the other side cannot put it up. Similar is the case. If the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in our side, then the other side cannot win at all. So Allah's help is always with the well-wisher. Those people who are bad wishers, Allah will deal with all of them. So it does not mean that we should be bad wishing to them. No. We should remain well-wisher. Khaja Nizamuddin Awliya Rahmatullah Alayhi was sitting. So one person came to him, Hazrat, this person is giving me a tough time. So he wanted that Hazrat should give me NOC, then I will deal with him. Hazrat, this person is giving me a tough time. He is doing this bad to me. When he talked about this, Hazrat knew what he wants to know, to listen from me. Then Hazrat told him that if someone is putting thorns in your way, never put thorn in his way, other there will be thorns and thorns throughout the world. Agar koi tumhare raaste mein kaante bichhaye, tum uske raaste mein kaante mat bichhana, varna puri duniya mein kaante hi kaante ho jayenge. So if someone is bad wisher, let him be, but we should be well wisher. And Allah will help us. Allah's help will be with us. And Allah himself will deal with all of them who are bad wishing. So we have to stay. For example, if some cloth has become filthy, now this cannot become clean and park with the urine. It will be park only when it is washed with the water. To take away the effect of the urine is not required. Fresh water is required. Similarly, if there is bad wisher, so the remedy is not bad wishing. Remedy is well wishing. And that ruling has been given in Quran, idfa billati. Yes. If someone is bad to you, you should be good to him. Ulama has quoted a very beautiful story that there were two friends from childhood. They went in the same school and they were educated, but their luck.
One of them,
he was very pious person. And the other one, he became very bad. But they had long years of friendship with each other. So one of them was very good and one of them was very bad. Let's give them the name. One was Nekokara and the other was Badkara. When they were grown up, this Nekokara was still loving to him. He is my friend. We spent lot of time together. So I have to do good to this one. But Badkara, he was Badkara all the time. He left no stone unturned to give every bad thing to this person, to hurt this person. But this Nekokara, he used to be good with him, always good. And whenever he used to do good, the Badkara, he used to ask, "How are you?" He said, "Whatever I have, it's all your barakat, your mercy. Everything is due to your barakat." Now, every day this Nekokara, because he was pious, he was good, good morale, good etiquette, his business was flourishing, he was very good person. So this Badkara, he became jealous to him, that my business is not going well, and he is earning lot of profit. So there was a professional jealousy even. So whenever he used to ask, "How you are doing?" he used to say, "Whatever I have, it's due to your barakat." Now this Badkara, he used to become more angry. And sometime he used to beat him and throw him away and just curse him and transfer hard words to him. But the Nekokara, he was always patient. Now one day, they were just standing near a well and discussing about something. And this Badkara, he just became angry. He was flared up due to some point. And he just pushed this one Nekokara and threw him in the well. Now he knew that he does not know swimming. He thought, "Okay, he will die. I will not see his face again." And he went back. Now, what happened with the Nekokara? When he drowned in the water, he struggled until he put his hand on the rope which used to take the buckets down. So he held that rope firmly. It took him a few minutes to get together, to calculate himself. Lot of water was in his stomach, it came out. When he felt little bit fine, he just climbed up. He came out. He was shocked on one side, that my friend did this to me. He just wanted to kill me. And on the other side, because he got lot of water inside, physically he was stressed. So he just stayed few minutes there and then he said, "Let me just leave this city and go somewhere else. I don't want to meet him again." So when he took this decision, he found two birds sitting on the branch of the nearby tree. And they were talking to each other. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, he gives the person capability to understand the languages of the birds. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam the capability to listen the language of the, to understand the language of the bird. Ya yuhannas ullimna mantiqattai. So he listened. One of them was asking, "Oh, how are you?" He replied, "I am fine, but the daughter of the king is very sick. So many physicians have tried, no effect at all. And I know that the remedy is in eating the leaves of this plant." Then the other bird asked him, "How are you?" He replied, "I am fine. Look at this big heap of mud. I know there is a treasure inside. No one knows." So they both said this and they flew away. Now this person, he was surprised. He was thinking about this. He went to the other city where it was capital and the king was living there. A thought came in his mind, "Let me inquire whether the daughter of the king is sick or not." So when he asked someone, he found, yes, she is very sick. So many physicians have tried, but no benefit at all. And the king has announced that anyone who will treat my daughter, I will give him a big prize. I will give him a big prize for that. Now this person, he said, "Okay, I know where there is remedy." Now the person took him to the king. He told that, "I know that how this sickness can be cured." He said, "Okay, bring the medicine." He came back. He took the leaves of the tree, dried it and ground it, and this powder he just gave to take in the morning, in the evening. Now this sick girl, when she took the medicine, herbal medicine, in days she just became healthy. And the king was very happy. Now the king thought that I had announced that I will give him a big prize. So what prize I should do? So his wife asked him, "You want to give him a big prize? Okay, your daughter is sick. If you will marry her with someone else, he will not be happy because she is a sick person. Why don't you ask this physician, Hakim Saab, if he want to make nikah? So if she will be his wife, then he will treat her and he will have a good life." So he inquired, and this person, he was not married at that time. He said, "Okay, I want to marry." And he was married to the daughter of the king, and he started living a life of respect in that city. After a few years, one day he was passing in the street. Suddenly he saw Badkara coming from the front. "Hello, how are you?" "Fine. How are you?" "I'm fine." "Oh, you are here." "Yes, I am married with the daughter of the king." Now this Badkara, he thought in his mind, he is not physician at all. He is not Hakim. He is a simple person. Oh, he did this. So he directly went to a person who was close to the king and he complained, "Daughter of the king is not for experiments. This person who tried, he is a simple layman. He does not know about medicine. If the experiment was not right, it was on the other side, what could have happened?" So the king, he was very upset. "You are making experiments." He said, no, I am not a poor person. I am from a big family background. And I knew that this is the medicine, herbal medicine." Then the king said, "Okay, if you are not from a poor family and you have married my daughter, then you could prove what you have." He said, "Okay, give me 10-20 people. I want to show what money I have." So he was given 10-15 people. He took all of them to the heap of mud. And he told them to dig that. So they just dig that place, and really a treasure was there. So they reported, "Yes, he has lot of gold and silver and valuable things and diamond." And the king was very happy. And he had only daughter, no son at all. So he gave a will that after my death, this son-in-law, he will be my successor. So when the king died, he became the king.
So when he became the king, people used to greet him. So after some time, Badkara came. And Badkara asked him, "Oh, you became a king?" He said, "Aapki barkat hai." So it means that if we are well-wisher, whatever other person is doing, we should not think about that. Allah will be with us. He will save us from the bad intentions of the other. He will save us from the bad tactics of the others. He will be helpful. He will make us successful. He will make us always a person of respect if we are well-wisher to others. So two things. A well-wisher person, if by mistakes he makes a wrong decision, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it right. Number two, a well-wisher person, even if someone is bad-wishing to him, Allah is with the well-wisher. He is always supporting the well-wisher person. The support of Allah is always with the well-wisher. And the third one, that the proximity of Allah is always blessed to the person who is well-wishing. Never, never, never a bad wisher can be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It can never happen. Anyone who is well-wisher, he will become wali, he will become the beloved person of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will get the close proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of big mashayikh of Silsila Chishtiya, he was in our area, so he used to write some verses in the local language. So let me quote and then I will translate. He said, "Ye naatya dhotya rab milda te milda kumbya machhiyanu." If you could get the proximity of Allah by taking bath, then all the fishes could be the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because they are always taking bath. Je naatiyan dhotiyan rab milda, te milda kumbiyan machiyan. Je sir munayan rab milda, te milda bheda sasiyan. If you could get Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by shaving your head, then a special form of sheep who has lot of hair on the other body except the head. He said that that sheep could get the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ye zikr kitiyan rab milda te milda kal kadichiyan. There is a small black bird. It stays near the buildings, and throughout night it emits its sound. Continuous sound. So he is referring to that small bird, that if by making zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one could get the proximity of Allah, then that bird could get the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Je jatiyan satiyan rab milda, if by being away from the demons and staying afif, you could be able to get the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then those male animals who are treated and made impotent, so they could get the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they are impotent. So he quoted all of them. Je naatiyan dhotiyan rab milda te milda kumbiyan machhiyanu. Sir munayan rab milda te milda bheda sasiyanu. Zikr kitiyan rab milda te milda kal kadichiyanu. Jatiyan satiyan rab milda te milda danda khasiyanu. And at the end he said, Rab milda te milda neeta achhiyanu. If Allah gives the proximity to someone, he gives the proximity to a person whose intention is always good. Allah makes wali only that person whose intention is always good. So if we want to become close to our Lord, a wali of our Lord, it's a must our intention should always be good for everyone. Not only that for family members we are good, for outside we are not. Or outside we are good with the friends, but family, everyone is crying in the home. No. It's not like that. For everyone, the intention is good, and we are delivering good to the people. All those who are either close to us or not so close to us. Now this well-wishing is so much loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Point to consider, to ponder. That once Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, he was just going with his army. An ant walking on the ground, she just found out people are coming. So she made an announcement. Ya ayyatuhan namludkhulu masakinakum. Oh ants, go into your holes. The army of Sulaiman al-Islam is coming and they might crush you under your feet. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loved these words so much that He made these words a part of His Quran Azim al-Shan. And the name of the surah has been given by the name of An-Naml, ant. So look at this. This is the wording of the ant. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved it so much. He described it in Quran. Ya Allah, if an ant is well-wishing to other ants, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes it this much, if a human being will be well-wishing to other human being, how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will like this. Our ancestors were not only good and well-wishers to the human being, even to the animals. There is a hadith of Bukhari Sharif. A prostitute, a bad woman of the time, she was just traveling. She found a thirsty dog. And then she had no water, but the well was nearby. She took her shoe, and it was a closed shoe. And she fastened it with some piece of cloth, and put it in the well, and took water, and fed it to the dog. And when the dog, his thirst was quenched, then he made a loud sound, and Allah was so happy, He forgave all the sins of that woman. If we feed to a thirsty dog, then the sins of a prostitute are forgiven. If we will feed to a pure person, to a mu'min, to a neighbor, to a family member, can we imagine how much ajr we will get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Once there was a muhaddis, and he had lot of engineers. I have a chit, some of the brothers want that some Urdu words should be used. So our muhaddis, he was writing a hadith. So he put his pen in the pot of ink and wanted to write. As he took his pen out, a fly just came and just sat down on the end of the pen. So this muhaddis, he thought in his mind, maybe she might be thirsty. So he held the pen maybe for a second, and the fly flew away. And then he kept writing. Now, after a few years, this Muhaddith, he died. Someone saw him in dream. He asked him, Hazrat, how are you? He replied, I am alhamdulillah enjoying in the paradise. He said, you deserved it because you were a big Muhaddith, big scholar, you were teacher to thousands of students, and you propagated the knowledge of Hadith so much. He replied, no. I was forgiven for an action which I never remembered. He asked us this, what? Muhaddith ne jawab diya, ke main hadith paak likh raha tha, pen maine dawat mein dala, aur us siyahi ke upar ek makhi aakar baith gayi, aur maine pen ko thodi der wahi par rok liya, makhi ud ke chali gayi. Allah ne farmaya, mere bande, تو نے میری مکھی کی پیاس کا خیال کیا، میں نے تجھے جہنم کی پیاس سے نجات عطا فرمایا. ایک مکھی کا خیال رکھنے پہ اگر بخشش ہوتی ہے، بیوی کا خیال رکھیں گے، بچوں کا خیال رکھیں گے، ماں باپ کا خیال رکھیں گے، پڑوسی کا، اللہ اکبر، کتنا اجر اللہ تعالی کی طرف سے ملے گا. چونکہ ہم دیکھتے ہیں کہ بعض صوفی قسم کے نوجوان بڑے رف اینڈ ٹف ہو جاتے ہیں، وہ باہر تو بڑے پھول کی طرح مسکراتے پھرتی ہیں، اور گھر جاتے ہیں تو کہتے ہیں حضرت پتہ نہیں کیا پارا چڑھا رہتا ہے. بھئی یہ شیطان آگ سے بنا، وہ آگ تمہارے دماغ میں بھی بھر جاتی ہے، اسی کا نام شیطانیت ہے. جہاں محبتیں ہونی چاہیے وہاں پارا چڑھا رہتا ہے، اور بڑی دینداری سمجھتے ہیں ہم اس کو. تو ہمارے اوراد و وظائف کا فائنل آبجیکٹو یہ ہے کہ ہمیں نبی علیہ السلام کے اخلاق حمیدہ کا نمونہ نصیب ہو جائے، ہمارے اندر وہ رحمت وہ رافت آ جائے جو اللہ کے حبیب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے پاس. اللہ اکبر کبیرہ. دو باتیں اردو میں عرض کر دیتا ہوں، بات مکمل ہوگی. بچپن کی بات ہے، لڑکپن کی. اس زمانے میں یاجز کہیں چھٹی یا ساتویں کا طالب علم تھا سکول میں، تو میرے ڈیسک کے اوپر ایک اور طالب بھی بیٹھتا تھا جو کہ دیہات سے تھا، فرام دی ویلیج. ہی یوز ٹو کم ٹو دی سٹی ٹو اسٹڈی ان دی ہائی سکول. جب ٹائم ہوتا تو ہم ایک دوسرے سے گفتگو کرتے، تو وہ مجھے دیہات کی باتیں سناتا. دیہات میں ایسے فصلیں ہوتی ہیں، کراپس ہوتی ہیں، اور ایسے فلاورز ہوتے ہیں، اور ویجیٹیبلز ہوتی ہیں، اور فروٹ ہوتے ہیں، اور میں اس کی باتیں سنتا. بیکاز آئی ہیڈ نو ایکسپیرینس آف گوئنگ آؤٹ سائڈ ان دی ویلیج، سو آئی نیور نیو کہ گندم درخت کے اوپر لگتی ہے یا پودے کے اوپر لگتی ہے. کچھ پتہ نہیں تھا مجھے، تو میں اس کی باتیں سنتا تھا غور سے. ان دی ویلیج سو آئی نیور نیو کہ گندم درخت کے اوپر لگتی ہے یا پودے کے اوپر لگتی ہے. کچھ پتہ نہیں تھا مجھے، تو میں اس کی باتیں سنتا تھا غور سے. سو ون ڈے ہی گیو می این انویٹیشن کہ جولائی اگست میں گرمی کی چھٹیاں آ رہی ہیں، پلیز کم ٹو مائی ہوم فار ون ڈے، اسٹے ون نائٹ، اینڈ ان دی مارننگ آئی ول ٹیک یو آن اے واک ان دی فیلڈ، اینڈ یو ول نو کہ دیہات کیا ہوتا ہے. تو جب چھٹیاں آ گئیں تو میں نے اپنی امی سے کہا کہ امی مجھے جانا ہے. انہوں نے کہا بیٹے اپنے بڑے بھائی کے ساتھ چلے جاؤ ایک دو دن کے لیے، نو پرابلم. میرے بڑے بھائی مجھے لے کے اس گاؤں میں گئے. اب اس گاؤں میں جب میں گیا، فجر کی نماز پڑھی تو ٹھنڈا ٹھنڈا ٹائم تھا، وہ ہمیں لے کے چلا، یہ گاجرے ہیں، یہ مولی ہے، یہ شلجم ہے، یہ سبزیاں لگی ہوئی تھیں. اب ہم چیزوں کو دیکھتے پھر رہے تھے، اچانک میں نے دیکھا کہ ایک فیلڈ کے اندر اینیمل مینیور گوبر ڈھیر لگا پڑا ہے دو تین جگہ پہ. میں نے جب دیکھا تو آئی جسٹ سٹاپڈ. ہم نے اپنے پیرنٹ سے سنا تھا کہ جانوروں کا گوبر نجس ہوتا ہے، گندا ہوتا ہے، بدبو ہوتی ہے، اپنے کپڑے بچاؤ ورنہ نماز نہیں ہوتی. تو بڑی نفرت تھی دل میں کہ یہ تو گند ہوتا ہے. اور ہم نے وہاں اس کو فیلڈ کے اندر دیکھا، تو میں نے کھڑے ہو کے اس سے کہا، یار یہاں تو کھانے کی چیزیں اگتی ہیں، جو ہم کھاتے ہیں سارے ٹماٹر کھاتے ہیں کھیرا کھاتے ہیں اور یہاں پہ یہ نجس چیز گند پڑا ہوا ہے بو آتی ہے اس میں. اس نے کہا بھئی یہ جو بندہ حل چلا رہے ہیں نا تم اسی سے پوچھ لو. تو میں انتظار میں کھڑا ہو گیا. اب وہ فارمر جو حل چلا رہا تھا وہ قریب سے گزرا, میں نے انکل سلام علیکم, اس نے سلام کیا. میں نے کہا انکل یہ یہاں کیوں پڑا ہوا ہے, یہ تو بہت نفرت والی چیز ہے, بو آتی ہے, گند ہے, نجس ہے, کپڑے پہ لگ جائے نماز نہیں ہوتی, اور یہاں تو سبزیاں ہوتی ہیں جو لوگ کھاتے ہیں. اس نے کہا بچے تم چھوٹے ہو, تم شاید میری بات نہ سمجھ سکو, تمہاری نظر میں یہ نجس ہے اور میری نظر میں یہ آرگینک فرٹیلائزر ہے. میں جب اس کو اپنے فیلڈ میں ڈالتا ہوں اور پھر میں وہاں پر دانے اپنے جب بیج ڈالتا ہوں اور کراپ اگاتا ہوں تو کراپ کی کوالٹی اور سائز اور اماؤنٹ وہ بہتر ہو جاتی ہے, تو مجھے بہت پروفٹ ہوتا ہے. تو اس وقت میں نے اس کا آئیڈیا بائی نہیں کیا کیونکہ اندر نفرت ڈالی ہوئی تھی نا والدین نے بہت. آئی کیم بیک بٹ ناؤ وین آئی ریمبر دیٹ انسیڈنٹ ان مائی لائف دین آئی تھنک اے انسان جسے ہم گوبر کہتے ہیں, گند کہتے ہیں, نجس کہتے ہیں, بدبودار سمجھتے ہیں, نفرت کی نگاہ سے دیکھتے ہیں, اس گوبر کو اگر کھیت میں ڈال دیتے ہیں وہ گوبر بھی ساتھ والی کھیتی کو فائدہ پہنچا دیتا ہے. تو انسان ہو کر اگر ساتھ والے انسانوں کو فائدہ نہیں پہنچاتا اللہ کی نظر میں تو گند اور گوبر سے بھی گیا گزرا. ہم انسان ہیں, ہم مسلمان ہیں, ہمیں خیر خواہ بن کے رہنا ہے, ہر ایک کا خیر خواہ. سب سے بڑی خیر خواہی تو یہ کہ خود بھی نیک بنے, گھر والوں کو بھی نیک بنائے, اللہ کے بندوں کو اللہ سے ملائیں, اس سے بڑی خیر خواہی نہیں ہو سکتی. اور اس سے آگے بڑھیں تو سبحان اللہ اللہ کے بندوں سے غموں اور مصیبتوں کو دور کریں, کسی کے کام آ سکیں. یہ کام آنا اللہ کو پسند آ جاتا ہے. ایک مومن کے غم دور کرنے کے لیے جو چلا, حدیث پاک اللہ تعالیٰ اس کو 10 سال کے نفلی اعتکاف کا ثواب عطا فرما دیتے. ہمارے اکابر اپنی زندگی میں ایسے کام کر کے آخرت کا ذخیرہ بنایا کرتے تھے. چنانچہ آخری بار سن لیجئے, عثمان خیر آبادی رحمت اللہ علیہ ایک بزرگ تھے, بقالہ کی دکان تھی کریانے کی, اس زمانے میں چاندی کے روپے ہوتے تھے اور جب وہ بہت زیادہ چلتے تھے نا تو گھس جاتے تھے, تو پڑے نہیں جاتے تھے کہ یہ 5 روپے 2 روپے 1 روپے کیا, تو لوگ کہتے تھے کہ یہ کھوٹا سکہ ہے. ان کے پاس اگر کوئی کھوٹا سکہ لے کے آ جاتا تو وہ پہچان تو لیتے مگر رکھ کے سودا دے دیتے تھے. عادت تھی ان کی, کھوٹا سکہ بھی لے لیتے سودا دے دیتے. ساری زندگی یہی کرتے رہے. جب ان کی وفات کا وقت آیا لیٹے ہوئے تھے, اچانک ان کو فیلنگ ہوئی کہ بس آخری وقت ہے, اوپر اٹھ کر بیٹھ گئے, اللہ سے دعا مانگنے لگے, اللہ میں ساری زندگی تیرے بندوں سے کھوٹے سکوں کو قبول کرتا رہا, تو بھی میرے کھوٹے عملوں کو قبول کر لے, اللہ تو بھی میرے کھوٹے عملوں کو قبول کر لے. ہمارے اکابر اپنی زندگی میں ایسے عمل کرتے تھے, کسی کو پتہ نہیں ہوتا تھا سوائے اللہ رب العزت کے. کیا ہم نے بھی اپنی زندگی میں کوئی ایسا ذخیرہ کر لیا؟ آج کی اس مجلس میں ہم یہ نیت کریں, ہم ایک ہر ایک کے ساتھ خیر خواہی کریں گے اور اپنی زندگی میں ایسی خفیہ نیکیاں کریں گے جو ہمارے اور ہمارے رب کے درمیان راز ہوں گی. اللہ رب العزت ہمیں نیک نیت بن کر, خیر خواہ بن کر زندگی گزارنے کی توفیق عطا فرمائے. وآخر دعوانا ان الحمد للہ رب العالمین. دعا کر لیجئے. سبحان ربی الوہاب, اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم.
اے کریم آقا، ہم آپ کے عاجز مسکین بندے ہیں، ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما، خطاؤں سے درگزر فرما، عیبوں کی پردہ پوشی فرما، اللہ ہماری نگاہوں کو پاک فرما، دلوں کو صاف فرما، سینوں کو اپنی محبت سے لبریز فرما، عشق کی آتش ہمارے سینوں میں پیدا فرما، ہمارے انگ انگ سے اپنے ذکر کو جاری فرما، روئے روئے سے اپنے ذکر کو جاری فرما، ہڈی ہڈی بوٹی بوٹی میں اپنی محبت پیدا فرما، اے کریم آقا آنے والے وقت کو گزرے وقت سے بہتر فرما، آنے والی زندگی کو گزری زندگی کا کفارہ بنا، اس سے پہلے کہ لوگ ہمیں کلمہ پڑھائیں ہمیں اپنے اختیار سے کلمہ پڑھنے کی توفیق عطا فرما، اس سے پہلے کہ ظاہر کی آنکھیں بند ہو جائیں من کی آنکھیں کھلنے کی توفیق عطا فرما، اس سے پہلے کہ لوگ ہمیں غسل دیں ہمیں غسل توبہ کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما، اس سے پہلے کہ لوگ کفن پہنائیں اللہ ہمیں تقوی کی پوشاک پہننے کی توفیق عطا فرما، اور اس سے پہلے کہ ہماری نماز پڑھی جائے اللہ ہمیں نماز کی حضوری نصیب فرما، اس سے پہلے کہ قیامت کے دن آپ کے سامنے پیشی ہو اللہ ہمیں اپنی بارگاہ میں قبولیت نصیب فرما، اللہ زندگی کے آخری حصے کو زندگی کا بہترین حصہ بنا، قیامت کے دن کو زندگی کا سب سے زیادہ خوشیوں بھرا دن بنا، اے اللہ بری نظر سے محفوظ فرما، برے اثر سے محفوظ فرما، جادو ٹونے سے محفوظ فرما، اپنی رحمتوں کی پشت پناہی نصیب فرما، اے کریم آقا بچہ پریشان ہوتا ہے ماں باپ کی طرف دوڑتا ہے، بندہ پریشان ہوتا ہے پروردگار کی طرف لوٹتا ہے، اے بے قصوں کے دستگیر، اے ٹوٹے دلوں کو تسلی دینے والے، اے خالی جھولیوں کو بھر دینے والے، ہم نے بھی جھولیاں پھیلائی ہیں، اللہ اپنی رحمت سے بھرپور فرما، جو گناہ ہم نے دن میں کیے معاف فرما، راتوں میں کیے معاف فرما، محفل میں کیے معاف فرما، تنہائیوں میں کیے معاف فرما، جو گناہ یاد ہیں وہ بھی معاف فرما، جو کر کے بھول گئے وہ گناہ بھی معاف فرما، اے کریم آقا ہمارے حال پر رحمت کی نظر فرما، رب کریم ماں اپنے بچے کو نجاست میں لتھڑا دیکھتی ہے، بچے کو پھینک نہیں دیتی، چھوڑ نہیں دیتی، سمجھتی ہے یہ تو نادان ہے، بیٹا تو میرا ہی ہے، اللہ وہ بچے کو سینے سے دھو لیتی ہے، سینے سے لگا لیتی ہے، اللہ ہم بھی گناہوں کی نجاست میں لتھڑے ہوئے ہیں مگر بندے تو آپ ہی کے ہیں، اللہ ہمیں اپنے در سے ٹھکرا نہ دیجئے، نفس اور شیطان کے حوالے نہ کیجئے، ایک رحمت کی نظر ڈال کے ہمیں دھو لیجئے، رحمت کی چادر میں جگہ عطا فرما دیجئے، اے کریم آپ نے ارشاد فرمایا وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ، سوالی کو انکار نہ کرو، جب ہم کمزوروں کو حکم ہے ہم سوالی کو انکار نہ کریں، اے اللہ ہم بھی تو پھر آپ کے در کے سوالی ہیں، اللہ آپ بھی انکار نہ فرمائیے، میرے مولا اگر دنیا میں روٹی کا کوئی مانگنے والا سائل ہو ایک دروازے سے نہ ملے وہ دوسرے پہ چلا جاتا ہے، نہ ملے تیسرے پہ چلا جاتا ہے، اس کا تو مسئلہ نہیں، اللہ مسئلہ تو ہمارا ہے کہ جن کے پاس آپ کے در کے سوا کوئی دوسرا در رہی، میرے مولا ہم اچھی طرح جانتے ہیں آپ کے دروازے سے جو خالی اٹھتا ہے وہی بدبخت ہوتا ہے، اللہ ہمیں خالی نہ اٹھا دیجئے، اللہ رحمت فرما دیجئے، اللہ جھولیاں بھر دیجئے، نیک امیدیں پوری کر دیجئے، اللہ رحمت کا معاملہ فرمائیے، آپ ہی نے ارشاد فرمایا یا ایھا الناس انتم الفقراء، اے انسانو تم فقیر ہو، اور یہ بھی تو آپ ہی نے فرما دیا انما الصدقات للفقراء، میرے صدقات فقیروں کا حق ہوتے ہیں، اے کریم جب ہم فقیر ہیں اور صدقات فقیروں کے لیے ہوتے ہیں، اللہ اپنی کریمی کا صدقہ عطا کیجئے، اپنی رحیمی کا صدقہ عطا کیجئے، اپنی ستاری کا صدقہ عطا کیجئے، اے اللہ اپنی محبت کا صدقہ عطا کر دیجئے، اے اللہ رحمتوں کا معاملہ فرما دیجئے، اے اللہ ہم پر رحمت کی نظر ڈال دیجئے، اے کریم آپ نے ارشاد فرمایا اپنے دو انبیاء کو موسیٰ علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام ہارون علیہ السلام کو، جب وہ فرعون کے پاس جا رہے تھے کہ تم اس کے ساتھ نرم بات کرنا، فقولا له قولا لینا، اے اللہ وہ فرعون جو انا ربکم الاعلی کا دعویٰ کرتا تھا آپ اس کے ساتھ نرم معاملے کا حکم فرماتے ہیں، اے اللہ یہ آپ کے بندے وہ ہیں جو روزانہ سجدے میں سر ڈال کے سبحان ربی العالی کا اقرار کرتے ہیں، اے اللہ نرمی کا معاملہ کر لیجئے، اللہ نرمی کا معاملہ فرما دیجئے، اللہ ہمارے گناہ معاف کر دیجئے، خطائیں بخش دیجئے، اے کریم ہمیں بخش دیجئے، اے رحیم مہربانی فرما دیجئے، دلوں کو دھو دیجئے، اے اللہ دلوں کو نور سے منور کر دیجئے، اپنی محبت سے بھر دیجئے۔ اے کریم آپ کے پیارے یوسف علیہ السلام کریم تھے، انہوں نے اپنے بھائیوں کی غلطی کو معاف کرتے ہوئے کہہ دیا تھا لا تصریب علیکم اليوم، آج تم پر کوئی گناہ نہیں، میں نے تمہیں معاف کر دیا۔ اللہ آپ کے پیارے حبیب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم بھی کریم تھے، انہوں نے فتح مکہ کے دن قریش مکہ کو یہی الفاظ کہہ دیے تھے لا تصریب علیکم اليوم، اے کریم آپ سب کریموں سے بڑے کریم ہیں، اللہ آج آپ اپنے بندوں کو یہی فرما دیجئے لا تصریب علیکم اليوم اجہبو انت متلقا، اے میرے اللہ یہی فرما دیجئے اجہبو انت متلقا، اے رب کریم معاف کر دیجئے، خطائیں بخش دیجئے، اے کریم مہربانی کا معاملہ فرمائیے، اللہ اپنی رحمت کا معاملہ فرما دیجئے، اے اللہ ہماری جھولیوں کو بھر دیجئے، اے اللہ آپ کی رحمت کی نظر فضیل بن عیاض پر پڑتی ہے، ڈاکوں کی سرداری سے نکال کے اسے ولیوں کا سردار بنا دیتے ہیں، آپ کی رحمت کی نظر جنید بغدادی پہ پڑتی ہے، دنیا کی پہلوانی سے نکال کے اس کو آخر دوہانی دنیا کا پہلوان بنا دیتے ہیں، اے اللہ آپ کی رحمت کی نظر بشر حافی پہ پڑتی ہے، دنیا کے شراب خانے سے نکال کے اللہ اپنی محبت کی شراب پلاتے ہیں، اے اللہ شراب خانے والے پر نظر پڑ گئی اپنی محبت کی شراب پلا دی، اے اللہ یہ بندے تو مسجد میں جمع ہو کے بیٹھے ہیں، ایک رحمت کی نظر ہم پہ بھی تو ڈال دیجئے، اے کریم ڈال دیجئے، ایک مرتبہ محبت کی نظر سے دیکھ لیجئے، اے اللہ یہ دعا مانگتے ہوئے ڈر بھی لگتا ہے آپ کی طرف سے کہیں یہ حکم نہ آ جائے، محبت کی نظر میں بلال پہ ڈالتا تھا، محبت کی نظر میں سمیہ پہ ڈالتا تھا، اپنی زندگیوں کو دیکھو، اے والا ہمارے پاس گناہوں کے سوا کچھ نہیں، ایک عمل بھی ایسا نہیں جو آپ کی خدمت میں پیش کر سکیں، بس آپ کی رحمت کا سہارا ہے، اللہ ہم پر رحمت کی نظر ڈال دیجئے، اے کریم مہربانی فرما دیجئے، اے اللہ عمر گزر گئی یہی کہتے کہتے ہم اللہ کے ہیں، ہم اللہ کے ہیں، اللہ اب تو بال بھی سفید ہو گئے یہ کہتے ہوئے، اے کریم ایک مرتبہ تو آپ بھی کہہ دیجئے کہ تم میرے ہو، اے کریم ایک مرتبہ، اے کریم ایک مرتبہ آپ بھی فرما دیجئے، ہماری تو عمر ہو گئی یہی کہتے کہتے کہ ہم اللہ کے ہیں، اللہ آپ بھی ایک مرتبہ فرما دیجئے ہاں تم میرے ہو، میرے والا گناہ بخشے جائیں گے، خطائیں معاف ہو جائیں گی، دل رحمت سے بھر جائیں گے، اے اللہ ہمیں اپنا بنا لیجئے، اے اللہ ہمیں اگر دوستی کرنی نہیں آتی آپ کو تو دوستی کرنی آتی ہے، ہمیں اپنی طرف کھینچ لیجئے، پیشانی کے بالوں سے پکڑ کے اپنا بنا لیجئے، سر کے بالوں سے لے کے پاؤں کے ناخنوں تک نبی علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کی سنتوں کا نمونہ بنا دیجئے، اے کریم اس مجلس محفل پر اپنی خصوصی رحمتیں برسا دیجئے، اے اللہ ہمارے اقابر جو موجود ہیں ان کو صحت عطا فرما دیجئے، ان کا سایہ ہمارے سروں پہ دراز فرما دیجئے، دنیا میں جہاں بھی دین کا کام ہو رہا ہے جس شکل میں بھی ہو رہا ہے اللہ اس کو قبولیت عامہ تامہ نصیب فرما دیجئے، اللہ مدارس عربیہ کی حفاظت فرما، دعوت و تبلیغ کے کام کی حفاظت فرما، جہاں اللہ لوطیہ خانقاہوں کی حفاظت فرما، اقامت دین کی کوششوں کی حفاظت فرما، پوری دنیا میں جہاں مسلمان پریشان ہیں اللہ سب کی حفاظت فرما، اے اللہ جو ہدایت سے محروم ہیں اللہ ان کو ہدایت کی نعمت نصیب فرما، اے کریم آقا آپ کے پیارے حبیب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے سامنے قبیلہ طے کی عورت اچانک ننگے سر آ گئی تھی تو آپ کے حبیب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے اپنی چادر سے اس کے سر کو ڈھانپ لیا تھا، اللہ آج آپ کے حبیب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی امت اقوام عالم کے سامنے ننگے سر کھڑی ہے، اللہ امت کا سر ڈھانپ لیجئے، اللہ امت کا سر ڈھانپ لیجئے، اللہ امت کا سر ڈھانپ لیجئے، ہمارے تینوں حرم کی حفاظت فرما دیجئے، اللہ ہمیں بار بار اپنے گھر کی حاضری نصیب فرما، اپنے حبیب حبیب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے در کی حاضری نصیب فرما، جن دوست احباب نے دعاؤں کے لیے کہا اللہ سب کی نیک مرادوں کو پورا فرما، بے اولادوں کو نیک اولاد عطا فرما، بیماروں کو شفا عطا فرما، اولاد کے غموں سے محفوظ فرما، اولاد کے دکھوں سے محفوظ فرما، اے کریم آقا آنے والے وقت کو گزرے وقت سے بہتر فرما، اے کریم ہم دنیا میں ایسے وقت میں آئے آپ کے حبیب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کا دیدار نہ کر سکے۔ اللہ جب قرآن کی آیت پڑھتے ہیں کہ کچھ لوگوں کو آپ قیامت کے دن اندھا کھڑا کریں گے، اللہ بہت ڈر لگتا ہے، اگر آپ نے اندھا کھڑا کر دیا قیامت کے دن بھی دیدار سے محروم ہو جائیں گے، اللہ دوہری محرومی سے بچا لیجئے۔ اگر دنیا میں نہیں دیکھ سکے، بڑے دل کی تمنا ہے اس چہرے کو دیکھیں جسے آپ نے والضحیٰ فرمایا، ان زلفوں کو دیکھیں جنہیں آپ نے واللیل فرمایا، اللہ اگر دنیا میں نہیں دیکھ سکے آخرت میں تو دیدار عطا فرما دینا، ان کے ہاتھوں حوض کوثر کا جام عطا فرما دینا، اللہ اپنے حبیب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی شفاعت نصیب فرمانا اور جنت میں ان کے قدموں میں جگہ نصیب فرما دینا۔ رب کریم ہمارے ان دعاؤں کو اپنی رحمت سے قبول فرما لینا، صلی اللہ تعالی علی حبیبہ سیدنا محمد و آلہ و اصحابہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین۔